For over 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, located in Bethesda, Maryland. I am Dr. Kevin Passero, and we're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m., so make sure to set your dials. If you have somebody that is trying to listen in from outside of our broadcast area, they can always go online to www.federalnewsradio.com and stream the show as it airs on Sundays at 10 a.m. Looking forward to another great show today. We've got a great special guest, and we're going to be talking about issues related to metabolism, certainly something that many people are interested in. Of course, as we know, you know, running my practice and seeing patients every day, I would say that while people come in with many health concerns that are related to different aspects of their body, it may be a gastrointestinal complaint, headaches, a thyroid problem, hormone imbalances, whatever it might be, typically associated with that is usually some desire to improve their body mass index. Most people don't necessarily list it as their chief complaint, but many people realize that they're not exactly where they want to be weight-wise. And people are very confused about what is going on with their metabolism. And I have many people that say, you know, doc, I've tried to eat well and I exercise and I do all these things and the weight just doesn't come off. And of course, our metabolism changes as we get older, but our metabolism also changes related to different health conditions we have, related to different hormonal imbalances we may develop, related to different foods that we may eat and behaviors that we have in our lifestyle. And today we're going to be talking about specifically five ways to speed up a slow metabolism, to help your body burn fat more efficiently, to help you attain your optimal body weight. Because having been at your optimal body weight is not just about looking good in a swimsuit or a pair of jeans or, you know, having a smaller waistline. It's also very much related to health, because an optimal body weight has a lot to do with different risk factors. And we know that having excessive body fat puts you at additional risk for certain conditions because it fuels processes of inflammation. It fuels things like insulin resistance, which fuels diabetes. It can fuel many different health conditions, and being at an optimal body mass index is incredibly important. So it's more than just looking good. This is about longevity. This is about reducing your risk of chronic disease, which is the number one killer of Americans these days. You know, back 100 years ago, the number one killers of Americans, or of really anyone in the world, had more to do, or at least in the developed world, had more to do with infectious disease and accidents and emergencies. And now we're very good with the advent of antibiotics and all the drugs and pharmaceuticals and surgical procedures we've pioneered and all of these different techniques. Infectious disease is very rarely a cause of death. We're living longer. We have a more abundant food supply. We have calorie-dense foods available to us at every single turn, no matter where we look. And people consume far too many calories and not enough nutrients. And as a result, we all typically are prone to having increased body mass, and we're more prone to these chronic diseases that people are experiencing: heart disease, diabetes, cancer, stroke, you know, all of these types of things are considered more accumulation of chronic disease factors. So let's introduce my special guest and get the topic going. Dr. Christopher Moore is a nutrition spokesman and consultant to a number of media outlets and corporations, including the Dairy Council, Clif Bar, Subway, Cardio Viva, and Nordic Naturals. He is a consulting sports nutritionist for the Cincinnati Bengals and is also the sports nutritionist for Under Armour's Training Council. Through his company, More Results, he works with all types of individuals, from soccer moms to collegiate and professional athletes. He often appears on TV as a nutritional guest expert, including an appearance with Chef Emeril Lagasse, bam, and another on the Montel Williams Show. He was a nutrition expert for the New York Times bestseller LL Cool J's Platinum Workout and worked closely with fitness celebrity Denise Austin to create the entire nutrition component of her last book. He's on the advisory board for Men's Fitness magazine and has written over 500 articles for consumer publication such as Men's Fitness, Weight Watchers, Men's Health and Fitness, to name a few. Dr. Moore has a Bachelor and Master's of Science degrees in nutrition from the Pennsylvania State University and University of Massachusetts, respectively. He earned his PhD in exercise physiology from the University of Pittsburgh and is a registered dietitian. Dr. Moore, thank you for taking the time to be with us on the show today.
Oh, absolutely. It is great to be here. And I love the introduction you did because it's all so very true about what's going on with the state of obesity and the growing epidemic of obesity, really, in adults and kids, and everything you said about it was spot on.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting progression of the American lifestyle going from, let's say, the 1950s and 60s. There was a little bit more whole food based, and then we started to get into the conversation of low fat, and then they started pushing a lot more carbohydrates, and the food pyramid became very carbohydrate rich, and we started to develop a lot of processed foods, and we saw sort of the obesity epidemic sort of start to take hold. And now finally, in the last 5 or 10 years, you know, we're starting to see obesity rates start to stabilize, finally starting to see them come down in children, which is great because that was a huge problem and still continues to be a huge problem. And there's now so much more of a push for whole foods and for looking at vegetables and a little bit more of people's attention towards looking at a healthier diet and looking at, you know, lower calorie, more nutrient dense foods, which are things like vegetables instead of these low nutrient, high caloric foods like fast food and fried foods and things along those lines. So we're starting to sort of the pendulum swinging back. We have a long way to go as a culture and a society, but we're starting to get a little bit of a focus on that. And you're one of those people with all of your media, you know, outlets and everything that you've done is starting to promote that. So that's great. So let's talk about, Chris, like metabolism in general. I mean, people hear that word a lot, and they certainly associate metabolism with just, you know, losing weight and speeding up their metabolism. But maybe you can just sort of like give us a bit of an overview of sort of what that word means before we start putting it into the context of weight loss.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question, because let's start there for sure. And when we think about metabolism, so essentially metabolism is basically our body allowing us to live. There's something called a basal metabolic rate. That's essentially us just living. So the activity we do is made up of a few different things. The activity we do is one piece of metabolism, but then also just function and digestion, and obviously our bodies, fortunately, are, you know, pumping blood, doing all the work they do internally. All of those things are something collectively referred to as metabolism. Now, there's the general metabolic rate, basal metabolic rate, that term I used earlier, and that depends on that's changed, I should say, depending on some basic factors: muscle mass, gender, and a number of others, age, and so on. But the one thing that we have a great control over with our metabolic rate is how active we are or how active we aren't. And that's actually, when we look at overall your metabolism, the biggest control we have is your physical activity levels. And that can cause a pretty big fluctuation in your overall metabolic rate, up to about 15%. So to me, that tells me that not just the more active we are, but the more muscle mass we have from being active, then the higher your metabolism. And I often refer to your muscle mass as the engine of your body. Mm-hmm. Just like in a car, the bigger the engine, the faster it can go. Well, the bigger the engine in your body, the more efficient you will be as a human being, and your metabolism will ultimately be elevated.
Yeah, it's a great point, and it's so interesting, you know, studying cell biology and then studying medicine and looking at advances in science. It really is. It makes so much sense because we think about, you know, our metabolism and how our body runs. Muscle cells play a huge role in that because muscle cells can create what's called ATP. Actually, all of our cells in our body create ATP. And ATP is this, what people refer to as the energy currency of our body. It's what every cell needs in order to be able to run its sort of metabolism or all of the physiological processes that it needs to run. And what's so interesting, you know, mitochondria we used to think of as a little bit more static as far as how many you have per cell, but we know that's totally not the case. If you were to take a muscle biopsy of a really high-level athlete, you find that the cell in their muscle, in somebody who's very well-trained, has tons of mitochondria versus somebody who's a couch potato, they have less. And as you train your muscles and you exercise your muscles and work them out, the same person can significantly increase the amount of mitochondria in their muscle tissue. And what that means is that more mitochondria you have in your muscle, the more ATP you're making. And that is true for when you're working out, which is why when you train and train and train and train, you can lift stronger weights, you can run faster, you can run farther as your body has more energy as the muscles get toned. But those same muscles and mitochondria are still cranking out ATP when you're sleeping or when you're sitting at your desk. And that is a huge reason why people say after they've been working out for about a month, they start to notice, you know what, I have so much more energy in general. I need less coffee. I feel more rejuvenated in the morning because your body's metabolic rate, it has increased its ability to make this vital energy currency that our body uses for all cells. Isn't that right, Chris?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And, you know, so it's certainly about the structured physical activity that you just touched on, building more of those muscle cells, mitochondria, and so on, those little cell powerhouses. And interestingly, too, it's, you know, the other piece that I want to emphasize, because like you, I've talked about the importance of physical activity. And a lot of the sometimes the pushback that I get is, you know, we're so busy, I don't have time to do, you know, 45, 60 minutes of structured activity a day. And well, one, I try to work with people to help work around that and figure out, you know, what really busy really means. But number two, and you may have seen this, it actually just came out this morning in the New York Times, actually, because one of the bigger topics that they're talking about now is not just movement, excuse me, not just exercise, but actually movement on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, you know, so I go to the gym pretty consistently, usually 3 to 4 times a week, and I'm there for maybe an hour. But that's great, but that means there's 168 hours in a week. So that's a pretty small segment of the entire week when you think about it that way. So the question is, what else are we doing the rest of the day? And the piece in the Times brought up the importance of standing and moving versus just sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting, there's a new study coming out next month in Diabetes Magazine or Journal, I should say. And the scientists found that every hour overweight adults spent watching TV increased, so basically sitting, increased their risk of becoming diabetic by 3.4%.
Wow.
So think about every hour. And in this study, most of the participants were watching 3 to 4 hours of TV a day.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about how little we're doing in movement. We're talking about increasing your metabolism. Simply standing up every hour and moving around for a few minutes can have a major, major impact on your overall health and your overall health outcomes.
Yeah, it is. Simple things like that are so important because we do create lifestyles and work habits that are so sedentary. You know, for all of us that work in offices and, you know, are sitting most of the day, whether it's behind a computer or for me, maybe sitting with patients at my office, it does become an incredibly sedentary process. And it is important to remember to move. And certainly just a little bit of movement every day does go a long way to keep your body healthy. So, Chris, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I have a couple other questions for you that I'd love for you to answer about metabolism. Then we can start talking about specific ways. And you've come up with these great sort of 5 tips that people can walk away with today about how to boost your metabolism kind of almost right away, and really important tips. So when we come back from the break, we'll be discussing that. This is Dr. Kevin Pacero with the Essentials of Healthy Living. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after these words.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
If you have arthritis, everyday tasks can become a challenge. That's why more and more doctors are recommending Arthrobin, an all-natural medical food for the dietary management of osteoarthritis. It contains a combination of bioflavonoids, which work to reduce inflammation and joint deterioration, along with collagen peptides, which increase joint mobility, function, and repair. Arthrobin is not a drug and is virtually free of negative side effects. Look for Arthrobin by Designs for Health today, available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I'm your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. Next week, my wonderful co-host Dana Lake will be here, so don't forget to tune in. You can listen to any of our previously recorded shows for absolutely free by going to the Village Green website, www.myvillagegreen.com. And on the right-hand side of the homepage, there's a little microphone icon. If you click on that, it will take you to the archive show section where you can download and listen to any of our shows for free. You can also find us on iTunes by typing in The Essentials of Healthy Living, and it'll come up right as a podcast that you can put on your iPhone or whatever device you use as your phone. They're great to listen to when you're driving or, you know, when you're just looking to catch up on some information. So hopefully it's a great resource. We get great feedback about the show. And today we are talking with a really phenomenal special guest, Dr. Christopher Moore. He's a PhD and registered dietitian and a nutrition spokesman and consultant to a number of media outlets. He definitely has a big presence working with professional athletes, regular people, soccer moms. He's been involved with the nutritional programs associated with celebrity books and workout plans and written articles for Men's Fitness. And he's just really been all over the place. So we're really delighted to have him here with us today talking about metabolism. Chris, if you could just sort of start this segment off. I mean, people have this mystery about metabolism. I mean, some of us are able to eat everything in sight without gaining weight, while many people can't even look at a potato chip, you know, without sort of gaining weight. So what is it about, like, sort of genetics or body types that has to do with, you know, this aspect of metabolism?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great question. I've actually thought that myself, you know, for my entire life. I'm one of the people, it's funny, my mom and I have the same build, very kind of leaner, more muscular legs, and we carry all of our weight in our upper body. My dad and my brother are the exact opposite, where they're those people you described. They could eat anything in sight, and they both have been lean their entire life. Now, one important piece to this is just because, you know, we, of course, talked about body weight, and you mentioned that in the beginning, and the body mass index and so on. Just because someone isn't overweight doesn't necessarily mean they're healthy. And I think that's a really important distinction, because I get that question a lot. You get, you know, people who won't gain weight or whatever they eat, so they just go hog wild and they're drinking, you know, soft drinks and fast food like it's going out of business. So just because you're thin doesn't mean you're healthy. And conversely, just because you're overweight doesn't correlate always to being completely unhealthy. Of course, there are more correlations to higher disease risk if you are overweight. However, what you put in your body and how you treat your body is still very important regardless of body weight. Now, to your specific question about you know, metabolism and how people can eat whatever they want seemingly and not gain any weight, you know, genetically there are some pieces to metabolism that that certainly play a role in how we utilize, digest, and utilize foods and nutrients. So, of course, exercise can play a role. And, you know, the more muscle mass you have, again, the bigger the engine in your body, the more efficient you are at utilizing those nutrients. But again, genetics do play a small role in the overall metabolism. And for those who are overweight, and, you know, like you said, walk past a bag of chips and seem to gain weight, mm-hmm. it's frustrating for them to look at the others. But honestly, I've worked with several people, athletes in particular, who have the same challenge. They're hoping to gain weight. So it doesn't seem like a big problem, but it can be. Some people just have that natural right. higher metabolism. And the key is fueling your body properly with high quality, high nutrient foods.
Sure. And I think, you know, people that tend to be the ones that gain weight very easily and, you know, tend to have a bigger body type, you know, it can be very frustrating because for most people, the motivation behind exercise and dietary changes is usually a bit more superficial. You know, it has more to do with how do I look and, you know, how do I look in these clothes or how do I feel in social environment or social situation? Because certainly there's a lot of stigma around being overweight and, you know, people are oftentimes embarrassed and ashamed of their bodies. And, you know, the problem is that even if even eating healthy and exercising, if it's not creating a perfect, you know, model-based body, it's still contributing so much to health, just like you talked about in that new diabetes study coming out. I mean, just being sedentary and not being active can contribute to disease risk. So just moving, even though you may not look as good as you would like, if you have that sort of genetic body type predisposition, it still doesn't mean that you're not significantly improving the aspects of your health. And so it's important to try and remember that, you know, but I guess the issue is that a lot of these silent, you know, diseases of chronic disease, heart disease and, you know, diabetes, they're sort of silent killers. You don't feel the plaques forming in your arteries. It doesn't hurt. You know, if it hurt when a plaque was forming in your artery, I guarantee you people would be, you know, so aggressive about preventing heart disease because people don't like to be in pain. But if you can't feel it, it's easy to ignore it. But it doesn't mean that, you know, you should. So I think that's an important thing to talk about. So what are some ways, sure. Chris, to kind of, you know, talk about speeding up metabolism? I mean, certainly nutrition is going to be a huge factor. I think we'll talk about exercise a little bit, you know, certainly during the show. But, you know, people love examples. So if you could kind of talk about the average person that comes in to see you, and let's not talk about the professional athlete right now. Let's talk about more right. the average, you know, you mentioned in your bio sort of soccer moms. And I like that example because we're talking about, you know, if they're soccer moms, they have kids that are old enough to play soccer, which usually means they're kind of middle age, maybe 40s. Metabolism has shifted. When women and men get into their, you know, early 40s, we start to see big changes in hormones start to drop and change. And, you know, I hear all the time, well, gosh, you know, 10 years ago, all I would have to do is just start watching what I eat just a little bit and I could lose the weight. And now, you know, I tried that and I'm in the gym 2 times a week and, you know, I'm starting to work out more and nothing's changing. Maybe you can sort of talk about what they're eating typically, even people that think they're eating healthy, and then what foods maybe are really what they should be focused on if they're actually trying to really speed up their metabolism. Because I find there's a big disconnect between what people think is healthy food and what actually is food to fuel your body.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Great, great point. So, you know, number one, when I'm talking with people, you know, one of the first things we look at is, and it's often a good starting ground, is are you eating breakfast? And it seems like such a basic, simple question. But number one, most people aren't eating breakfast. Most people are skipping this meal, whether it's, you know, they're running themselves out the door, their kids out the door, or whatever it may be. They don't have time. They're not hungry in the morning. And then if they are fueling themselves, because maybe they've heard it's important to fuel your body, well, like you said, they're not making the best choices. So the one thing I specifically focus on with breakfast, so yes, I think breakfast is absolutely crucial. And I think that, you know, most of the data, the majority of the research suggests that it can help with body weight management. However, if your breakfast is going to a coffee shop and getting a giant latte with maple or with whipped cream and syrup, that's probably not a great start. Or likewise, you know, running, picking up a scone or a muffin or a donut just to get something in your body, also not great choices. So those types of foods are lacking in protein. And most of the research suggests that people are eating a very little amount of protein in the morning. About 10% of their total protein intake comes in the morning. And if you think about what most people eat for breakfast, that shouldn't be as a surprise. It's some of those examples I just gave, or maybe just a plain piece of fruit, or just a plain bowl of cereal, or something along those lines.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I love how oatmeal is considered like the healthiest breakfast food, and people are so proud of themselves when they come in and say, you know, I eat a bowl of oatmeal every morning with bananas in it, you know, and they're shocked when I tell them that, you know, you may as well almost eat a scone, you know. I mean, it's not quite as high glycemic, but it's one of those foods that's gotten this reputation as a health food. But, you know, I'm going to let you finish explaining about protein, and hopefully, you know, by the end of the conversation, people understand why it's not a really healthy breakfast food by itself.
Right. And that's why you need to. So certainly, like you said, it's, you know, it has some nutrients. It has fiber and other nutrients. But in and of itself, it's lacking, again, coming back to lacking protein. And what I would say is, if you really enjoy your oatmeal, great. Let's see how we can add some protein in there. Maybe it's simply a scoop of protein powder. Maybe it's, you know, instead of making it with milk, make it with Greek yogurt. That's higher in protein. I do that a lot myself, or almost make like a parfait. Or cottage cheese, another great one that does not get enough love. I'm trying to spread the love. 13 grams of protein per half a cup in cottage cheese. It's more than Greek yogurt. So the reason this is so important is because one of the key benefits to protein, and I say one because there's many, but one of the key benefits to protein is that it helps fill you up, a term called satiety. And a lot of research now is suggesting that when you add protein in the morning, it may help with weight loss overall. One study comes to mind that's actually not quite out yet. It's going to come out in September on the journal Obesity. It's a 12-week study with obese teenage girls. And they had three groups. One group skipped breakfast, which is unfortunately very common in that age group and across the board. One group ate 13 grams of protein for breakfast, which is equivalent to about two whole eggs. The third group ate 35 grams of protein for breakfast. What they found over 12 weeks was the higher protein group lost significantly more weight and ate about 400 calories less per day, and they attribute it to that higher protein morning option. Mm-hmm. So again, where does that come from? So if you want your oatmeal, don't just put plain milk on it, or make it, a lot of people make it with just water in the microwave. You know, add some Greek yogurt, have some hard-boiled eggs on the side, use something along those lines, put some protein powder in it, get that protein higher, because there seems to be a strong correlation between eating protein and how full you are for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's a really great point, and I talk to people about it all the time. That morning breakfast meal, it starts to set the tone for what your blood sugar is going to do for the rest of the day. And that term that you mentioned, satiety, you know, there's many factors that contribute to satiety, and certainly having a slower burning type of food like a protein or a fat versus a carbohydrate basically means that the calories are released slower in your system, so you get more of a sustained satiety feeling. In addition, when you do a breakfast that has, let's say, a high glycemic index, something like just plain oatmeal with water, or the scone, or the, you know, coffee mocha latte in the morning, or something that's high sugar, even just a little, you know, bar in the morning, breakfast bar, you get a blood sugar spike because they're all carbohydrates. And that blood sugar right. spike, when sugar floods into the bloodstream, your body releases a flood of insulin, which then causes a blood sugar crash. And when your blood sugar gets low, your body starts to crave more sources of carbohydrates to quickly get the blood sugar up. So that's the sweet breakfast in the morning, and then people are starving, you know, 2 hours later, and they're running to the vending machine, or they don't have time, so they get hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. And then lunch comes, and they're so hungry that they get, you know, a huge lunch, and then they overeat at lunch, and they don't balance their blood sugar correctly, and then they overeat at dinner. And that breakfast meal, it does set the tone for what's going to happen the rest of the day with blood sugar and satiety. And having more protein and good quality fats in the morning helps to set the stage right for the rest of the day. It's such an important topic. So what are some of your, I mean, we talked about ways to modify, like oatmeal. Can you talk about some other examples of some of your favorite sort of breakfast meals that you recommend to clients that, you know, you get great feedback on? I love this, Chris. That was such a great recipe idea. Can you give us a few more ideas of things you typically recommend?
Yeah, absolutely, because that's really, let's put it into perspective. So I'm a big fan of eggs, whole eggs. You know, that being said, to get that, you know, I said the 35 grams of protein in that study, and I know the researcher, most of the data, and she said this as well, they use that higher amount, but most of the data suggests 20 to 30 grams would have a positive effect. So things like, you know, one whole egg has about 6 or 7 grams of protein. So you need a couple whole eggs with maybe a little bit of cheese on it. Or I mentioned cottage cheese earlier. Cottage cheese with some berries and some nuts, some almonds or something like that would be great. Greek yogurt, I mentioned that one, another great option. You know, one of the things that I'll make a lot, or even, you know, for our girls, we have a 6 and a 3-year-old. They love what we make yogurt and Greek yogurt and cottage cheese parfaits. So we'll lower cottage cheese, some berries, a little Greek yogurt, maybe a little more fruit. Again, you know, it's surprising maybe a 6 and 3-year-old would eat that, but it looks really appealing because it's kind of the alternating colors. It's a fun food. So while it sounds appealing for young kids, you know, adults fall for those same things. Something that looks appealing and obviously has to taste good, they'll want to eat it as well. So those are a few options that come to mind. Also, don't be shy about, you know, don't be shy about using leftovers from the night before. So, for example, we had grilled salmon last night. I actually made an omelet this morning, and I had some salmon in there. That may not be appealing to some people, but even steak and eggs can work really well. Or the other day, I added some chicken sausage to my eggs. So be creative.
No, it's a great idea, and I do recommend that people start thinking outside of the box when it comes to breakfast and start to sort of put aside the notion that breakfast always has to be traditional breakfast foods and to start looking at, you know, leftovers and, you know, and what are you eating for breakfast? I mean, I've had patients that say, you know, I eat a half of a, you know, grass-fed burger. I make them in the evening and with some vegetables, you know, and that's what they eat for breakfast. And it's like, you know, once you start doing that, it seems really odd. And some people don't necessarily have the appetite in the morning or the time to do something like that. But if there's leftovers, once people get in the habit, they love doing it and they notice how more sustained their blood sugar is and their energy is, and they start to have less sugar cravings throughout the day as their blood sugar becomes more stable. So it's great to think sort of outside of that traditional breakfast fare food like eggs and cereal and oatmeal and think of other things. So we're going to have to take a quick break, Chris. When we come back, let's keep talking about some of these tips for metabolism. Maybe we can discuss a little bit more about nutrition. I want to get into physical activity, and there are also some really important nutrients that people should consider to support your body's metabolism while doing these other lifestyle factors. So this is Dr. Kevin Pissarro with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be back right after these words.
Solgar No. 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar No. 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar No. 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar No. 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar No. 7 says yes. Solgar No. 7. Available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Whole Food Multivitamins. They are the only USDA certified organic, non-GMO verified whole food multivitamins available. They're gluten-free, certified vegan, and feature a patent-pending clean tablet technology. Kind Organics is super clean, untreated, unadulterated, and real whole food. Kind Organics Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team includes pharmacists, nutritionists, clinical herbalists, and naturopaths offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero, and thank you all for tuning in. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. Today, we're talking with Dr. Christopher Moore. He is a PhD, RD, and nutrition spokesman and consultant to a number of media outlets and corporations, including the Dairy Council, Clif Bar, Subway, CardioViva, and Nordic Naturals. He often appears on TV as a nutritional guest expert, including an appearance with Chef Emeril Lagasse and another on the Montel Williams Show. He's on the advisory board for Men's Fitness Magazine and has written over 500 articles for consumer publications such as Men's Fitness, Weight Watchers, Men's Health and Fitness, just to name a few. So, Dr. Moore, thank you for spending the time with us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Great to be here, and such an important topic, so I'm glad we're touching on it for sure.
Yeah. So in the last segment, we were discussing nutrition, and we spent most of the time talking about breakfast. I'd like to kind of, you know, branch out beyond breakfast and just, you know, a quick thing. People who say that they're not hungry in the morning, usually those people, if I can get them in the habit of eating breakfast, especially one that we've talked about, a good protein-rich breakfast, on a consistent basis, they start to develop their appetite in the morning. So for people that are listening that's just saying, I just can't do that in the morning, you just try it. And if you're not that hungry when you start with small servings of things that we've talked about, let your body adjust. And usually within about 2 to 3 weeks of creating that habit, you start to fire up your morning metabolism and you'll start to actually crave that breakfast and realize that you feel better when you have it. Now, on the topic of nutrition, let's talk, Chris, about, you know, if you want to add on any other things about breakfast ideas, that's great. But I'd love to talk about the rest of the day and how we sort of break up this sort of combination of carbohydrates and fats and proteins and what people typically do and really what you recommend people do to really fuel metabolism.
Yeah, certainly. You know, one thing that we obviously touched on, the importance of protein at breakfast, and one of the really hot areas right now in research in the nutrition world is not just the protein at breakfast, but actually eating less protein at dinner, which may surprise some people. So in a lot of my talks recently, I've been titled, "You're Eating Too Much Protein." Obviously, it's kind of a sexy title to draw people in because that's kind of contrary to what they think. But the truth is, and when I get into it, it's actually that you're eating, in my mind, you're eating too much protein at night, but not enough in the morning. So we talked about some options to increase your protein in the morning, things like, you know, leftover steak to have with some eggs or a burger or something like that. I'd venture a guess that most people aren't lighting up their grill and, you know, throwing a hamburger on the grill first thing in the morning. But the truth of the matter is most people and research has suggested that we are eating about 60% of our total protein intake in the evening, and only about 10% in the morning. So if you look at your hand right now, the thickness and size of the palm of your hand, excluding your fingers, is about how much protein you should eat at each meal. So that's, depending on your body size, that's about probably 3 to 4 ounces. Remember earlier I mentioned the importance of those numbers, 20 to 30 grams of protein? Well, 20 to 30 grams of protein is about the size of 3 to 4 ounces of protein. So it works really, really well. So what that means is, you know, make sure you have leftovers from the night before by cutting down your portion. You know, most people think of a big, you know, 8 ounce steak or 12 ounce steak or piece of salmon or chicken, but you really only need a few ounces, 3 to 4 ounces, complemented to your question, complemented by some nice pile of veggies and maybe some quality whole grain, and then you'll be you'll do really well with where you want to be in terms of your overall health. So again, you need to shift your protein intake more from the evening, more in the morning, less in the evening, and that will do better for your body when you're trying to fill yourself up and, of course, fuel your body in the other ways we'll talk about as well.
Yeah, well, it's such a great point, and it reflects on the conversation that we had in the last segment, because most people aren't fueling their body properly throughout the day because they're, let's say, skipping breakfast. They're maybe just getting through lunch, and oftentimes lunches are, in office setting, sandwiches, subs, pizza. People sometimes maybe just skip lunch or eat a little bit of lunch or work through lunch. They're not well-balanced meals. So you're not eating a well-balanced meal in the morning. Most people aren't eating a really well-balanced meal at lunch. And so by the time they get to dinner, they're starving. And basically, they've been in what I would call a calorie deficit, or the right macronutrient deficit throughout the day, so that by the time they get to dinner, they're so hungry, they sit down and they eat this massive meal, right? Versus
right.
If you flip-flop it, when you eat this really great protein-rich breakfast like we've talked about with 20 to 30 grams of protein, you have a really nice, well-balanced lunch, maybe a nice salad with some protein and lots of veggies or maybe leftovers from dinner the night before, and you minimize your carbohydrates and eat lots of fiber and protein and vegetables and good fats. By the time you get to dinner, you haven't been in a calorie deficit. And it makes perfect sense, because if you think about what you do from the minute you wake up into dinner, that's the active part of your day. That's what, between breakfast and dinner, what do? You do everything that you do in a day. You go to work, you do your workout, you drive your kids, you commute, you carpool, you do everything that requires energy. And then people go home and they're hungry because they haven't been feeding themselves correctly. They eat a huge dinner. And then what do they do, Chris? They sit on the couch,
right,
and
well,
they go to bed. They do nothing.
Exactly.
And they wonder why they
can't
burn fat.
Right. And, you're probably familiar with the statistics. Something came out from the American Heart Association a few months ago that showed that the average American sits 16 hours every single day. Now, I know I'm not telling you rocket science here or anything new, but there's 24 hours in a day. Mm. And that excludes sleeping. So not the 24 hours, 16 hours excludes sleeping. So we're sitting 16 hours a day in addition to the sleep that we're getting. So I would love to think it's 8 hours a day, but it's more probably like 6 or 7 for most people. That's most of the day, 3/4 of the day approximately is spent sitting. And again, it's at first when I say that, a lot of times people are thinking, no way. But you start to add up your day. You drive to work, most people. You sit in the car to commute. That's after sitting down in the morning, maybe to eat breakfast, then you drive to work, then you sit at the office for 8, 9, 10 hours, then you commute home, you sit down to eat dinner, and then, like you just said, you're so exhausted from really doing nothing all day that you actually are too tired to do anything, so you sit down to watch TV. And then, like you said, then people are wondering, why can't I burn fat?
Mm-hmm.
Why is my metabolism tanking? Well, partly because you're sitting for 16 hours a day. And then, of course, it gets into what we're eating or not eating as well.
Yeah, it's quite a conundrum. So before, what else do we want to discuss? Do we want to move into some physical activity ideas here, or do you want to wrap up anything with nutrition?
We could move into to physical activity if you want.
Okay. So if we were talking about the nutrition, it seems like the most important tip we've given people is to really focus on that breakfast. And I'm assuming, when we talk about the other meals of the day, you're discussing, similar concepts where you're, balancing the carbohydrates, focusing more on the vegetables and the good quality proteins and fats, and trying to get people to limit some of the carbs. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. And then limit carbs, but more limit the junky carbs as well.
Sure.
More specifically.
And why do carbs, sorry, we're going to stay on nutrition here because I think this is an important question. Why do people need to avoid, because there's a huge craze about, low carb diets. It's been around forever. What is it about carbs that's not conducive to a really good metabolism?
Mm-hmm. Well, so carbohydrates, as you touched on earlier, when you eat carbohydrates, they convert to glucose pretty quickly. And then ultimately, that glucose, when you have elevated blood glucose, that causes a release of insulin. very normal process. We all have it, not all of us, unless you have diabetes and so on, it may be affected. But generally speaking, you increase your glucose, releases insulin, and insulin does its job. Insulin's job is to get that glucose to where it needs to be, which initially is muscles and liver, to be stored as glycogen, used as energy, and so on. But when we have excess glucose, again, coming back to eating too many carbohydrates or too many real low-fiber, high-sugar, junky carbohydrates, then that can backfire. So it's not just – I do think people are eating too many carbohydrates overall because, again, this goes back to we're sitting 16 hours a day and not utilizing the energy from those carbohydrates. But at the same time, I also think the quality – so it's not just quantity of carbs, but the quality of the carbohydrates we're eating is very poor. You know, the average person eats about 2 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, which is a carbohydrate. That's a high quality, you know, we look at veggies, it's a super high quality carbohydrate. So are fruits, of course. And then you can look at some quality grains as well. So it's about fiber. We're not eating enough fiber. So again, it comes back to the quality, but then it also comes back to the quantity as well. It's a combination of the two.
Sure. All right. Well, that was a good explanation. So when we get into physical activity, you talked about the key really to metabolism has a lot to do with physical activity. So why don't you expand on that a little bit?
Right. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, there's, when we look at the overall metabolism, it's broken into a few different categories, how it works and operates. And the biggest fluctuation is from your physical activity. And then that also attributes to muscle mass. So it's said that your metabolic rate can fluctuate upwards of about 15%. Depending on your level of physical activity and muscle mass. So again, coming back to the more we move, the better off you're going to be. And then again, the more muscle mass you have. So that brings up a couple points. One, just you want to be physically active. But then two, again, going back to you want to move. My general rule of thumb is for every 1 hour you spend sitting, you want to move for about 5 minutes at least. So that to a lot of people, I often say, you know, set your phone, set your alarm to go off, because it's very easy to get caught up in whatever you're doing and forget that you're even sitting. I've been there myself. I'm not immune to any of this. But it's easy for me to, when I set my phone and the alarm goes off, it triggers my mind to remember, stand up, move around, because to be honest, nobody is, you know, no one can focus for that long anyway. So you start to lose focus, you start to drift away, you're getting work done, you're kind of all of a sudden you're mindlessly scrolling the internet and Facebook and whatever else. So get up, move around, you're wasting time anyway, that will give you more energy, it will increase your metabolism. And then the other piece when we talk about exercise, structured exercise now, getting away from movement, is I think personally the most important piece of structured physical activity is strength training. And I say that because strength training is what is going to build muscle. It's not that walking or cardiovascular exercise is unimportant. Those are absolutely crucial to health as well. But when we talk about muscle mass, walking around the block will not build muscle mass. Lifting weights and challenging yourself with heavy weights will build muscle mass. And that's what I encourage everyone to do. Get in the gym. Challenge your body. You know, I often see women lifting 3 or 5 pounds or so on. I always say, you know, your kid is heavier than that. Your purse is heavier than that. If you're not challenging your body, you're not going to be able to build muscle mass at all.
Yeah, it's a great point. And there are ways that you can dovetail cardio if it's done in a specific way to weightlifting. So while people do cardio, a lot of times they just sort of set the treadmill at a normal pace, they put their headphones on and they stare at the TV and they do their little walk slash run for, you know, an hour and feel like they're getting a great workout. Interval training is one of those types of trainings that you can do more in less time. And all of the physiological science that I've read shows that interval training, like on the treadmill, produces the same types of hormonal shifts and testosterone boosts and growth hormone boosts that weight training does. So it actually really helps to facilitate muscle mass. So you could do half the time of cardio, 30 minutes of interval training on a treadmill, and then move to weights, 30 minutes of weight. You're getting so much more of an efficient different metabolically boosting muscle building workout than just doing an hour on the treadmill at a sort of random pace. So it's something that, you know, is a really important topic and a way to maximize your exercise while you're actually doing it. You may as well get the most out of it. So when we come back from the break, Dr. Moore, let's talk about some nutrients that might be helpful in supporting metabolism when you start working with nutrition and diet, because it's always nice to get a little bit of an extra edge if you can. And there are some important nutrients that help us do that and help our bodies to support metabolism. So this is Dr. Kevin Pacero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. We're going to be back right after these words.
Mega Food Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Mega Food believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Mega Food, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
If you have arthritis, everyday tasks can become a challenge. That's why more and more doctors are recommending Arthrobin, an all-natural medical food for the dietary management of osteoarthritis. It contains a combination of bioflavonoids, which work to reduce inflammation and joint deterioration, along with collagen peptides, which increase joint mobility, function, and repair. Arthrobin is not a drug and is virtually free of negative side effects. Look for Arthrobin by Designs for Health today, available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I'm your host for today, Dr. Kevin Pacero. Thank you all for tuning in. Hopefully you've learned a lot about metabolism and nutrition and a little bit about physical activity. We've had Dr. Christopher Moore on the show with us today, who's a very well-respected PhD and registered dietitian, really a leader in looking at holistic nutrition and how to support metabolism and diet and fitness and everything. So it's been really great to have you here with us, Dr. Moore. In this last segment, I think we're going to try and focus a little bit on just some nutrients. We've talked about some of the dietary considerations to think about, some of the exercise and strength training you emphasized in the last segment. What nutrients do we also want to consider sort of supplementing ourselves or getting from the diet that are really helpful in supporting metabolism and supporting our body?
Yeah, it's such an important topic and great question. Obviously, we touched on protein as kind of what's called a macronutrient, but there's some other interesting nutrients that can play a role with metabolism. One of those that may surprise a lot of people is actually eating more fat. And so that's a macronutrient, and I say that, and hopefully people didn't tune out already thinking, what's this guy talking about, eat more fat? Well, again, just like we talked about the quality of carbohydrates and the quality of protein, there is a quality of fat that's really important. And there's a lot of different fats out there. So, of course, there's saturated fat, which has been in the news a lot lately. But then also, more specifically, there's something called omega-3 fats. And omega-3 fats are known as an essential fatty acid. What essential means is that we need to make them, we need to get them from the diet because we don't make them. And so the studies have shown, so one, they're necessary for heart health and brain health and so many other components of the overall body and health and so on. But the few studies that have emerged lately showing that we may actually, that omega-3s may actually help increase metabolism, burn fat specifically, which is super interesting. It doesn't make sense. Again, you're taking fat, but it may increase your metabolism. Well, there are a few studies to support this. And one of them actually gave people omega-3 fats, and in addition to having them do a walking program, and the comparison group took sunflower oil and also walked. So the exercise was the same, diet was the same. The difference was the type of oil they were given, and it was just a few grams. What they found was after 12 weeks, the group who took the omega-3 fat significantly lost more body weight and increased their metabolism and reduced their body mass index compared to those who did not. So again, there are only a handful of studies. I'm not going to say this is a magic bullet by any means, but it's definitely something to keep your eye on. And you know, one thing I always go back to is we talked about a lot of the comorbidities of obesity and overweight, things like heart disease and depression and joint health and pain and discomfort. Well, we know that omega-3s can play a huge positive role in all of those. So that being said, even if it doesn't pan out and help weight loss, we know that it's going to play a positive role in those other disease states that go along, unfortunately, with obesity. So to me, it's a no-brainer, and it could only help.
No, it's a great idea. And I mean, why omega-3s have a wide application for many, many different health conditions. So supporting metabolism, and of course, no supplement, you know, is going to stimulate metabolism by itself. You know, I mean, every once in a while, a study comes out, you know, in rats where they're getting a huge amount of some sort of nutrient and they lost a little bit of weight. And then, of course, you know, the industry sort of turns it into this idea and the media turns it into this idea that, you know, if you take a bunch of the supplement, your metabolism is going to shoot through the sky and your just weight's going to fall off. And it's not a reality. These are supplements and nutrients that are designed to be used in combination with the dietary recommendations we've discussed and the exercise recommendations we've discussed. And in combination, they can support that metabolic process that occurs from the proper lifestyle changes. That's the fundamental piece of it. Now, omega-3s, you've talked about, you know, in regards to supporting metabolism, but there's also, I think, some specific roles in omega-3s when it comes to athletes and exercise. So if people are getting into an exercise regimen, working out, starting to do things, why are omega-3s so important for people that are really physically active?
Right, yeah, regardless of body weight. Well, they can help recovery potentially. They decrease inflammation in the body. And when we exercise, we actually increase inflammation. It's acute, but we increase that. So we want to help our muscles recover. There's been some great studies that may help with muscle recovery, joint pain and discomfort, which unfortunately can happen over long years and years of physical activity, especially heavy types of physical activity, either jogging or heavy weightlifting and so on. So there's definitely a piece that active individuals should absolutely be taking omega-3s and add them to the regimen. You know, to be honest, I get the question all the time, you probably do as well, is, you know, what supplements should I take? Well, you know, to be honest, if I was going to boil down to just one, let's start the basics, I would say that a high-quality omega-3 is absolutely where you want to be. And start that. That's not even a supplement. It's just I call it a complement. It complements a great diet.
It does. Well, that's a great start. And I guess we'll end by, you know, sort of discussing the importance of omega-3. So, Dr. Moore, we are out of time. Really appreciate you bringing your expertise to the show today. And thank you so much. You know, people can learn more about you by going to www.moreresults, which is MOHRRESULTS.com. So, Dr. Moore, thanks again. Really appreciate you taking the time to be with us this morning.
Absolutely. It was great. Great to be here, and definitely look forward to doing it again.
All right, everybody. That wraps up the Essentials of Healthy Living. This is Dr. Kevin Passera wishing you all the best of health until next time. Take care.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.